Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. And this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests provide advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, comedians, casting directors, talent managers. It goes on and on and on and on. If they are working professionally in show business, we are going to have them on the show to give you entertainment career advice. And we make sure that our guests are at different stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. Now, you can either listen or download any of our past shows by going to our archive page on the latalkradio.com website. So just go to the Channel 1 link at the top, and then a drop-down box comes, and you click Question Reality, and this takes you directly to our archive page. And our shows are also available to listen to on iTunes under the podcast section and also on Stitcher.com. So just type Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there we are. Now, if you want to find out about our future guest, you have to visit the official Question Reality Radio Show website, and that address is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com. And as you know, we're always booked 6 months to a year in advance, but we are still booking. Currently, we're starting to book October through December. So if you want to be on the show, if you're working professionally in the industry and you want to come on and give your sage advice, we would love to have it, and also promote your projects. Excellent, excellent opportunity. We have worldwide listeners, as you know, so great opportunity for you. Now, I also encourage you to download our new free app for Android or iPhone, so you can be able to listen to all of the other exciting and informative shows on LA Talk Radio. There's a whole bunch of topics, really interesting advice. So check that out. Now, go to the app on the homepage of the latalkradio.com website, and it's located towards the bottom of the page on the right-hand side. So go there now and download it. It is, we got fantastic guests on the show today. Well, we have them every week. But, oh, I wanted to tell you, do you know, yesterday, my husband and I, we had not seen this movie. We missed it in the theaters. And UVerse, AT&T UVerse, was giving, they're giving free, what's it, free, you get to view free shows on Cinemax and Showtime. So we found so many great movies that we missed in the theater, one of them being Jersey Boys. We had not seen it. We heard it was so good. And of course, my husband's not really into that, but I wanted to see it, and I finally got a chance to watch it. It is so good. I couldn't even believe how good this movie was. 2.5 hours, mind you, but I'm telling you, it is fantastic. So if you have not seen Jersey Boys, and you think it's some kind of movie, and it's actually something else, there's not that much singing involved, if you don't like that, but it was a really fantastic movie. The actors were so strong, and the storyline was great. And of course, it was I think directed by Clint Eastwood. Yes, Clint Eastwood. So you know it's going to be fantastic. So again, I encourage you, watch Jersey Boys. It is really a great, great movie. Fantastic. Okay, so we talking about greatness. We have a great person on our show today. Her name is Georgina Marie. And she has so many hyphenated titles. Let's just start now. She is an actress. She is a comedian. She is an award-winning voiceover artist. She's a screenwriter and an author. And I want you to go to her website right now. It's Georgina Marie, and it's spelled JorgenaMarie.com. GeorginaMarie.com. She also has a website, GeorginaVO for voiceover.com. She's on IMDb. And she's also on Twitter at Georgina Marie and also on Facebook. So you definitely, you definitely want to check out all of her videos on YouTube. She is hysterical. I'm telling you, her comedic timing is off the hook. I was laughing my ass off. I said, my God, this woman is so funny. She needs to have her own sitcom. That's it. I'm going to talk to everybody I know. She needs her own space on primetime TV or cable. You know, we're not picky. Now, let me tell you a little bit about her. She cut her teeth as a stand-up improv comedian in the big NYC, New York City. She came to LA for opportunities in TV and film, and she's taught numerous classes on improvisational comedy, and she's in the process of writing a book on life lessons that one can learn from improv. And I want her to go into that today because if you've been listening to me for 8 years on this show, you know I cannot rave enough about take improv classes if you want to be an actor, whether you want to be a dramatic actor, a comedic actor, it doesn't matter. You need to take improv classes, and I hope she goes into detail about that. She's a multiple earphones award winner. I've never heard of that, but I love it. I love the title. I want to find out what that is. She's and that's for voiceovers. She's a voiceover artist, and she's narrated over a hundred. Audiobooks. She is the voice of Nancy Drew in the new book audiobook series. She's the featured voice for the Travel Channel Asia. And Georgina is also developing two original comedy series for television. One is a sitcom, and the second one is a Tracy Ullman style variety show. Oh, I love Tracy Ullman show. Oh my God, I thought that woman was a genius when I used to watch her show. Just the funniest woman ever. So this is it's a variety show featuring many original live comedic characters that she's created. And Georgina is also in the process of putting final touches on two original screenplays. And with the assistance of Walt Disney Studios, an animation artist, she's created two original animated characters called, and I hope I get this right, it's either Noli Nibbles or Cannoli Nibbles. I think Noli Nibbles might be it. And Bubble Chicken and friends. So, without further ado, welcome to the show, Georgina Marie.
Oh my God, Priscilla, you're infectious. You're amazing. Thank you. That was the most incredible intro.
No drugs, no alcohol, all sugar. What are you? All sugar, all double chocolate chip cookies. I'm telling you, I don't know why people do drugs and alcohol. Just eat some damn sugar. That's all I need. Thank you so much. Again, I watched you by the way, we got to give kudos and love to Dan, your publicist, Dan Lasky, LaskyDigital.com. When he sent me an email, part of the requirements for being on the show, you have to send all the website link so you know my assistant can check you out. And when I watched you on YouTube, I said, son of a bitch, this woman is the funniest person I've seen in a long time. You are so funny. Your comedic timing is perfect. I mean, you really know how to phase in and out of these characters. And every time I watched you do a character, it was so different. It was just, you know, some people who are comedians, every time you see them in something, they got that same role. They got the same body language. They got the, I mean, they're funny, or they're not funny, but they're funny, but it's the same thing. And you make really different choices every time I see you do a comedic character. So kudos to you. You're really fantastic.
Thank you. It means a lot to me that you observed that. That's actually what I strive to do. It's just what I enjoy the most. I want to slip away into something and become somebody else and live a different life for a moment, based on observing life and people that I know or my imagination. And I really enjoy doing that. So thank you. It means a lot.
Well,
thank you.
You do it. And God knows the crazy characters you must know if you're emulating them, because that is some really precise work. Now, you have, I want to talk about these two original animated characters. Did I pronounce it right? Noli Nibbles and Bubble Chicken. I know Bubble Chicken, I can read, but Noli Nibbles, right? Is that right?
It's actually Bublé Chicken. No, I'm just kidding. It's Bubble Chicken. Yeah, Bubble Chicken loves you. So there's Bubble Chicken, yes, and that is my little baby of a show. And Noli, it's actually Noli. Noli Nibbles is a mouse with a big heart and no tail, and she was created by Michelle Gorin, who asked me to, there's a whole bunch of amazing animation people that I've, some of them that I've gotten to work with in the past, and they recommended me to be the voice for this project that Michelle has been working on for years. And Michelle, this project, Noli, is just the sweetest, I love getting
to hear her
voice.
Give me a little voice of Noli Nibbles. Give me a little something so we know she's sweet.
Hi, I'm Noli Nibbles. I hope you're having a great day.
Oh my God, that's so precious! Oh, I want to just squeeze you right now! Oh my gosh! So is she on a journey? What's she doing? What is her whole path in life, Noli Nibbles?
Yeah, she's on a journey. She it's self-acceptance. Being born without a tail made her different from the other mice, and so she goes looking to create tails and, you know, a lot of learning stuff possibilities with her for kids, and to just, you know, love yourself the way that you are, different or no matter what. And there's a lot with Noli about kindness and just, she's a sweetheart to begin with, but she's just full of love and kindness, and it's so amazing to be a part of something that feels so pure like that. And and a lot of goodness, a lot of love to give to other people. And, you know,
is Noli Nibbles, does she team up with Bubble Chicken, or is Bubble Chicken a separate cartoon?
Yeah, totally separate. Yeah. Like I said, the opportunity to work with Michelle, actually, you know, it came along, and I got to come in as a voice, and I'm part of the whole group of growing Noli, but I'm providing the voice for her, and I love getting to do that. With Bubble Chicken, I'm actually, it did start as a voice character that I was doing, and then I started building a show around Bubble Chicken, because people would be like, do that character, what was that character again? And just from doing it, playing with it, people just responded to it. So I built a show around it, and working on developing children's books for Bubble Chicken. And also a very positive vibe with Bubble Chicken, too, of bringing peace and love and just accepting people as they are. And a little bit of a wink, because I think Bubble Chicken has got a sassy kind of sense of humor, but just full of love, too.
Is Bubble Chicken a male character or a female chicken? A female character.
Bubble Chicken is from another planet where there is no gender.
Oh, so what does the
That's
voice
right.
for Bubble... Oh, let's hear Bubble Chicken.
Well, Bubble Chicken loves you, Priscilla. You're beautiful, and you're having a great day, yeah?
Ah, yeah.
Oh, good. Bubble Chicken wants you to have the best day in the whole wide world, you know? We're going to have some fun today, every day, and forget about our troubles, you know? Don't worry about it.
Wow. It's like you're another person. It's like you sound like a child, like you're like an innocent little child. Oh my God, that's amazing. And yet the voice is so different from the Nolly Nibbles. Wow. That is just an art form. It really is. I don't know if everybody thinks that if you're not, they're not in entertainment, they watch the television, for example, or the movies, they go, ah, psh, I can do that. And then they hear a voiceover, ah, psh, I can do that. Let's just go ahead and try. Go ahead and try and see how good you are at it. Very, very rarely is someone a natural because this is an art form. It really is, and it takes a lot of training and a dedication and practice. What did you have education? Were you educated in doing voiceover? Because I know that that's rampantly available here in LA. Or did you start this as a child? What is it with the voiceovers? How did you decide that that's what you wanted to do?
It's just always been a part of me as a kid. I always did funny, weird voices, or like put on puppet shows with my feet to cheer my mom up, or like I just was a weird kid.
Hopefully, she liked feet. My husband hates feet. You wouldn't sell him on you couldn't land him with a foot show. But wow. That's great. A foot show.
Yeah, thanks. I just love to do the voices and I don't always know that I'm doing it, which is always like a fun surprise where somebody's like, "Oh, what just happened?" And I'm like, "I don't know what happened. What did I do?"
You just go into voices and characters automatically. So maybe you didn't need schooling it, because there are people who are natural at voices. I think Jim Carrey, who does fantastic impressions, I don't think he had training. He was a natural. So maybe I need to retract that statement. Well, not everybody can do it. A few people, special people like you, Georgina Marie. Now, what is this? You're the winner of two earphones award. What? First of all, for people who have never heard of that, what are the earphone awards?
So they're awards that are given to narrators for their work in audiobooks. And the Audiophile magazine is the is a great magazine for the audiobook trade and profession and all things audiobooks. So Audiophile magazine awarded over the past couple of years many of those to me, and I'm so grateful because I just really am. And they also they do something at the end of the year where they name people the best of, you know, these genres, best voices of 2014, 2015, and I was awarded with that in 2014, which was such a huge deal because I thought, oh, I won one. That was like a fluke. You know how we are about things. Like, oh, they invited me to do this show. They don't really know that I'm actually a complete mess and don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
I fooled them again. You know, anytime you're good at something, sometimes that little voice comes in and is like, I fooled them again. They hired me for that part, or they gave me that job. They don't know what they're doing.
Right.
But to get one that was like of the year was very like meant really in a deep way so much to me, and then that it happened the second year, I was like,
wow,
this is really now, something for me to embrace.
That was for The Unfinished Life of Addison Stone and I Was Here.
Yes, and there are others that have just been announced. That was with a few other people with Addison Stone, but and I played Addison, but also Salt to the Sea by I'm not going to say her name because I'm going to get it. I pronounced it because I had it right in front of me, and I had a director telling me exactly how to pronounce it, and she's going to have to forgive me. But she wrote the most extraordinary historical fiction book called Salt to the Sea, and really just tearjerker, beautiful story based on these things that happen in history, and I get to work on the most amazing stuff. So the Nancy Drew stuff, and to, you know, some of the nice things that have been said there are just like make me float in the clouds, because voicing audiobooks is something that I've been trying to break into and do for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And I just sort of put it to the side because it wasn't happening. But I've wanted to do that since I was a kid in school. And just, I love reading. I'm like, I was a fiend. I would read so much I got into trouble for it. And now that I get paid to do it for, it's like...
Just like the kids who were comedians in class, and now they're multimillionaires for doing it. I'm so glad that we're talking about audiobooks, because I am always asked by people when I go to various events, and they are aspiring voiceover artists, and they are non-union, and they're doing, I've had people on the show who are union and non-union, and I hear from the non-union voiceover artists, not that I'm pro or con on either, but they say that they get more work than the union actors. And one of the things that that they told me was that it is a wonderful career. So I want to talk a little bit about the career of a person who decides to be a voiceover artist. And audiobooks is an option for you. It pays, well, I'll let you tell about the salary. And I want to know, a little bit about it. Like, can you make millions of dollars being a voiceover actor, or can you make a substantial life from it? I want to know, what is this whole world of doing audiobooks? Because a lot of people don't know that that is actually a career. They really don't. I was baffled. I'm like, I've known about this for a long time, but I'm in entertainment. But there are people who are not in entertainment who have always wanted to do audiobooks, and they don't know how to do it. They don't know anything about it. And they're scared to leave the 9-to-5 job to pursue this. So can you tell us a little bit about it, maybe motivate or inspire people to do that?
I would love to because it is a great job. And there's a lot of work out there. There just is. And
where is the first place that you would look to even get work as an audiobook narrator? First of all, what training do you need? Because you can't just say, I'm going to be an audiobook narrator, or can you?
No, I was going to say there. Yeah, I don't want to, puff up a big cloud for someone to sit on, and then it sort of deflates.
Right.
Because it is an amazing job, but there is a lot going into it, and I think that I didn't get to play in that. I get to play in this realm and work with this, like, the woman who wrote Salt of the Sea. I'm going to try her name, Ruta Sepetys, and I didn't get to narrate her book. This was, we're going time periods, and sometimes there's accents, and I didn't get to do that. I wouldn't have gotten to without training. I have theater training, and I say training, and I'm not going to say any schools that anybody should have to go to, but I think that actual experience is the best way to learn. I started doing community theater as a teenager, plays in school. That kind of experience of working with directors and just doing that is incredible, and to be... Most of the amazing audiobook narrators that I've been listening to, when I start talking to them or I see them at the lunchroom at Random House, they're seriously trained theater actors or very successful with a film career. And so audiobooks is a really growing industry. And so there is more and more work with it. But I think the question of why people haven't realized it was a profession before was because people were, it was a smaller group of people who were interested, but as technology has changed and you don't have to go out and buy a hard copy, although some people still, do fabricate discs for people to listen to, but you can just go to your phone and download, any of the books. And so now it's accessible by anybody with some access to the internet. You can have somebody tell you talk to you and tell you this story for days.
We had I actually had probably more, but right off the top of my head, I had two pretty well-known people in the voiceover business on my radio show. One was Bill Ratner, who I don't know if you know who he's a published author, voiceover actor, blah blah. Yes. You know, he runs the Don, was it Don LaFontaine?
That's right,
the famous
voiceover lab. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, the voiceover lab. He was on the show, and he really promotes audio books as a career. And also, I had Trevor Jones on the show, and he does that work as well. Now, Bill Ratner, I believe, is union, and Trevor Jones, I believe he said on the show that he's non-union. And it was just interesting how both of them loved doing the audiobooks, which was really
yes.
I thought that is a fantastic career. So as a voiceover artist, you can do so many different gigs, but this is a great career. But can you make a living at being a voiceover actor? And what one of the things they both said about being a voiceover actor as opposed to being, you know, oh, I'm going to say a regular actor is, you go in and you can wear flip-flops. You can look like a hot mess. I wouldn't recommend this, but this is what they were saying. It's so comfortable and there's just no, there's no formality to it. You can just be a little bit more casual. So, and they say that it pays well, but is it, do you feel that you could make a living doing that? Just
absolutely. Oh, no, absolutely. There, I mean,
so it's enough work. It's a, you said it's a up and coming job, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I love, part of what I love about voiceover and what I love about stand-up comedy is being entrepreneurial. You can really go outside of the sort of regular routes of getting a job in TV and film, and you can really be doing a lot more to find work, create work, do projects, and be a business person. And there's a part of my brain that really likes that. And I think that one of the things that I read is that all the websites that are on the internet, the more successful ones start with some video. Now, a lot of times when there's video or some kind of explainer or whatever on somebody's website, there's a lot of it, there's a voiceover. And there's only going to be more. In the coming years, it's going to jump exponentially, the amount of videos that are on websites, and everybody's going to the internet for this. And so there's work right there. That's just one thing. That's just like one thing that somebody can be doing and doing a lot of and making a living doing. Now, it's just one aspect, but there's everything else too. There's commercials and animation and
so would you for example, actors, a couple of websites that an actor uses as a resource to get a job as an actor is called Actors Access. Is there
right.
a website for just voiceover jobs? Does that exist, or where would you get work?
There are sites like that, and that's a whole point of contention for a lot of people, because some of them you pay for, and some you're just listed on, and some and a lot of the really big jobs and campaigns where you can really do very, very well, those are going to go more through an agent. Those are going to go through an agent, and be union. Now, before I forget, I wanted, on the audiobooks thing, I just wanted to mention, as far as training, I don't want to leave out, like, theater training and all of that is good, but I want people to understand that it is a particular kind of storytelling, and it's a particular kind of, it's like, they teach you when you jump from doing a lot of theater to suddenly being on film, you can't act the same way that you would on a stage in front of 6,000 people or, you know, 200 or a black box theater or whatever in New York. You can't act that same way when you're in front of a camera and it's totally, you're very close focused. And there's not much in the frame except for your face, which on a movie screen is going to be, you know, however 20 feet, you're going to be huge. So you can't act the same way because it reads it completely differently. It's a similar thing with audiobooks. There's a lot to adjust and learn from, even if you've been doing voiceover. I have plenty of friends who do voiceover but don't do audiobooks because it is demanding in other ways. And if somebody wants to learn about that, I want to recommend Dion Audio. They're here in Los Angeles, and they teach classes. And they also do workshops with, you know, they're very, they know what they're doing. And I record some of the Nancy Drew stuff there, and I've recorded a lot of Scholastic, the Nancy Drew stuff when I don't go to Chicago for Oasis Audio. I do it there, and just beautiful facility, amazing people. And so it's DEYAN Audio. I just wanted to make sure that I said that, because there's not a lot of places you can study audiobooks.
Right. That's what I'm hearing. So it's Beyond, B-E-Y-A-N, you said? Beyond?
D as in dog, Dion Audio.
D, spell it again, please. So
sure. D-E-Y-A-N.
D-E-Y-A-N, Dion. Okay. So I assume that if you Google that, that will come up. Yeah, that's what I heard. People are like, I've been looking for a school. I can't find one. I can find a lot of voiceover teachers, but nothing for audiobooks. And they say, I hear that it's totally different. So I'm so glad that you're telling us about that. My goodness. And now, here's what I also heard. Is it true that most of the jobs that you get from being a voiceover actor or an audiobook is word of mouth? I heard that it's a click. There's like, you know, how do you get into the fold or the click, so to speak? And I heard that you get most of the jobs through word of mouth. Is that true?
I think that might be more true for something like ADR, which is looping, replacing the voices of someone in a film or a TV show. A lot of that can be like that. And voiceover as a whole, used to be more like that. But because there's so much more work, there's so many more people, I just feel like it's an industry that has really expanded. And same thing with acting. We have all these new stations, all these new places on the internet to put our work and to be seen and heard. So for the voice, for somebody wanting to break into a voiceover, this is an amazing time to do that. And I think it's a challenge for people who've made millions in voiceover in the past, because unfortunately, a lot of the jobs that were union, and I have my own story as far as I did a pretty big campaign and did very well on something, and the next year it went non-union, and this year one of my best friends is shooting on that right now, and and non-union. And
are you union?
I am union. Yeah. Okay. And she told me what she got paid, you know, and I had done the same company and the same thing a few years before. So that's a whole other, but that's a big can of worms, you know, and to talk about. And I just was at a union meeting about new media, and it's all very exciting and very scary. And when there's fear, there's a lot of like shaking up of things and all of that. But you know, audiobooks used to not be covered by the union. It was, some things were union and a lot of the companies weren't, and the union organized, and now the main companies are all under union contracts, which is great for health and H&R. It's like you've got your insurance and you're paying into that, and you're not going to make it. If people want to make money, just money doing audiobooks, please, please, please save your time, because it's not that kind of work. It's rewarding work for, I think, people who, and it's just different to me. It's harder to do, and in the sense of, I do commercials, I do promos, I do work where I go in and 15 minutes later I'm done and I get a nice, wonderful, that I'm a check I'm grateful for. But it took a lot to get the job. I'm not saying that's easy. It was marketing and, you know, following through with people and relationships to get that gig. But I'm just saying the difference between those two and going into a booth day after day with just me or with another person and working through this story that is just heartbreaking, and you're, you know, trying to keep it together because it's so emotional and beautiful and rewarding. It's very different from walking in and being like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right. So there you go, people. There's the job of the voiceover actor or the audiobooks narrator. Yes, say two thumbs up on that. Now, I understand that you are the voice of the Travel Channel Asia, from Anthony Bourdain's hit shows to Mysteries at the Castle, Insane Coaster Wars, and you do everything in between. And now I understand that you're the signature voice for the network. So you're like the signature voice. It's not like you're just doing it once or twice. You're the signature voice. So how, first of all, what does that mean, being the signature voice for the Travel Channel Asia? What does that entail? Does that mean every single thing that I were to listen to on the Travel Channel would be your voice narrating? What does it mean?
Yes, in that market and on their website. Yeah.
Oh.
So yeah, it's a separate thing, and that's another reason to say that this is a global, we are global. Like, that's like what's happening. And that goes for films shooting all over the world, and you know, people being able to have a visual effects job in Lithuania, because there's lots of work that, you know, or I'm just saying random places, but there's a lot happening all over, and they need talent for it. They need whatever that is, you know, below the line, you know, crew. They need all of that. And entertainment is a really big industry for jobs for people, not just, you know, getting an acting gig. So all these places, I just feel like it's a great time to be breaking into it, but be prepared to, you know, when somebody asks you, like, you've got to deliver it or they move on to somebody else. And that's where training and belief in yourself are just a great foundation. You're learning what you're doing and feeling good about your ability to do it, feeling good about taking the next step forward with the career. Because now people are globally reaching out, sending you an email. I heard your demo on this site. You know, we're interested in working with you, or can you send us a sample of what you do? Because the other thing that we haven't even gotten into yet, you were saying that voice actors say, oh, it's great, you can just go in your pajamas or whatever. You don't have to go in. Everybody, a lot of people now, and big people, and Don LaFontaine was actually one of the people who kind of started this. Mm-hmm. They have home studios. He actually was the person who set the trend on that. Mm-hmm. And if for people who don't know who he was the guy who was in the world, and I can't even...
In the world! I can't
remember. Yeah, but he and it wasn't just, you know, this voice. I didn't know him, but I've met a lot of people who are very close with him, and including my agent, and they just speak with him. Sometimes you get to know a person by what their friends say about them, and
right.
He did a lot for other people, and he changed the business in that way. If he created a full professional studio at his house, because promos are fast paced and they need you immediately, and so he's got it right there. Great sound.
So you mean that you could, if you were a voiceover actor, you could be called and they could send you the script and you could just tape it at home and then send the MP3? Is that what you're
saying?
Yeah,
but I also have things that air from, I'm sitting in my booth right now. I have things that air from my booth that go on the air.
What?
So
I don't even understand that. What? How would this process work? So give me an example.
Sure.
This is so exciting, people. Isn't it exciting? I know people listening right now are just losing their minds over this. They've never even heard of it. I've been doing this show 8 years. I've never heard of this. I mean, Bill Ratner didn't even go into this, and neither did Trevor. So I'm going to have to talk to them about this. So go ahead. Tell me how this works.
Well, it is something that's developing, and it's, you know, maybe it's like, you know, it's a developing thing, and I think it's more for, it's like when people have been working for a while, and a lot of people still go into their agent's office and do their auditions and do things old school, and a lot of big things are done that way, but many, many big things are also done at people's studios if they have the quality and the equipment. So that's the other thing.
But you can do really low budget versions.
Let me walk you through something. So let me throw out a scenario or whatever. So there's some like awesome big hamburger chain, Fancy Pants Burgers. And Fancy Pants Burgers, the people who sit around and write the ads, the copywriters, they're like, all right, let's, we need a new voice for this. Okay. Let's do this thing. And so they send out, there is a site called voicebank.net, and they might put it up on there, and all the agents grab it. And the agents grab it, and they send it to their clients, so that I get it in my email box. Oh, script for Fancy Pants. They want the woman to be like, juicy. delicious, whatever it is. And so I go in my booth, which is in my house, and I turn all the equipment, well, I turn all the equipment on, go in my booth, and I do the copy, I record it, then I edit it, and then I send it to my agent, or my agent lets me come in, so I could go into the office, but we're talking about the home studio. But let's say this is great for me because I do on camera and I write. And so let's say I don't want to go into my agent's office today because I've got an on camera audition across town. So I get it done, 10 minutes, send it off, or half an hour, whatever I spend on it. And then I send it off to them, and they get a whole bunch of them from everybody else, or they found me and just requested it from me, and I just send them my thing. And then they select the voice, and then if the quality of my studio was good enough, sometimes this happens, this is kind of rare, they might air that. That happened from one of my agent's office. It's happened from my booth. They'll just air the spot, and then you get a check in the mail. If the quality is good enough and you can link up with the technology and the software, there's certain software you have to have for those bigger jobs. But if you get all that linked up and they like your voice, you can set it up that way.
Absolutely.
And there's all levels of that. It doesn't have to be, everything doesn't have to be fancy. I started in a closet. I went in the closet. I tore everything out of the closet one day. I went in the closet, and I ran the microphone under the door, the line in there, and put it in there, and a little, I don't even know if I had a light. I had the light of the iPad, which is terrible for your eyes, and I've since fixed all of that. But, you know, you learn these little things along the way, and I didn't quit anything else until I was sure that I could really make this go. So bit by bit, I believed in it. I knew I really wanted to do it, and I knew that I could do well with it. So I just thought, okay, I'll start with one thing. I got this microphone. I didn't spend a lot of money, which is important if you're just starting out. Don't spend a whole lot of money on equipment and all these things that we're talking about, because I spent years kind of building little baby steps from there. I'd book a job and take the money from that and reinvest it just like a business would.
Absolutely. Again, people, show business. It's a business. Think business. You got to be the accountant too. You got to be the administrative assistant, the sales, the human resources. You can fire your own self if you're not good at it. You just need to do it. But she's saying she's promoting and networking and marketing, and she has to do all of these jobs herself. Again, it's a business. So there you go about that. Now, moving on, I understand that you also did some iconic roles in Final Fantasy. That's a game, right? One of these online games.
Yes. Yeah.
We have Richard Epcar that's going to come on the show towards the end of the year. I'm not really into the gaming world, but I know he's huge, and I booked him for one of my short films to do a fundraiser for us. And he apparently has all of these iconic voices as well on these anime games, maybe, possibly. Don't quote me on it. But and then LeBlanc, or gosh, this other guy who's really famous, but I'm sure you know who they are. Do you like doing the game, the voices in the games?
I sure do. I mean, I love it. I love it all. It's very creative. That was a lot of fun to be, and then to be a part of such a big franchise and do something like that. And my character was so cute. It was, you know, it's not a huge thing, but that character's throughout the games, and it's the character's called Koopo, and Koopo is just like, Koopo, Koopo. It's really just cute, adorable.
Final Fantasy! that was the voice throughout all the Final Fantasy games, right? The same one?
I think that one's just for 10. Oh, but I did okay. I did this project a few years back, and it was some of the most rewarding work I've ever done as an actor, and it was for a Steven Spielberg video game that didn't get released. And I thought I'd show up and there'd be like a whole group of us actors, and I was told I was going to be playing an alien. And I thought, oh, it's going to be a bunch of us, we're going to do like alien sounds and all that. And I showed up and it was just me, and I had been cast to be the voice, the lead voice of this game. And I got the whole world explained to me of like what I was going to be doing, and it was like, okay, like kind of open up Steven Spielberg's mind and share this like pocket of like this world he created. And my job was to voice all of the script and then do it again in an alien language that we kind of made up together, and then do it again in total gibberish. and like a just sound, like very little sounds. And so I had to do everything three different ways. Like what? Oh. I don't even know how much I can even talk about what we did.
Wow.
But it was so emotional, and there was so much, like, there was just, it was so intense, and it was incredible. And then it never,
oh.
It's known as, it's on the internet as, like, one of the best video games never made. And
really?
And nobody knows that I did it or any of that
oh.
stuff.
Oh, can you say the name since it's online?
Well, it never got, it never, it's called the LMNO Project. And, yeah, and it never got named. That wasn't the title
oh,
of it. The title
bummer.
Was still kept hidden as well. Yeah.
Well,
but
maybe,
this is,
you never
this
know.
This is the business.
You
That's
never
true.
Know. It
That's
could be
true,
picked
but
up
I do,
again.
You're right. But I also believe we get these experiences and we get the roles that are right for us.
Right. Exactly.
And it's important to have the attitude, like have a good attitude, and I try my best, and sometimes there's challenges, you know, being cast in a pilot that doesn't go, or whatever it might be, getting cut out of a film, or, you know, and
edit it out. Oh my gosh. I was on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I have a lot of friends who are producers and directors, and whenever they need a Michelin tired female, a little chubette, a little marshmallow world fantasy, they call me. So I was on, through a friend, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And, I had this scene with, DeVito, and I had actually three scenes, and two of them got edited out, and I was so mad. I just, because, you know, when you do a scene with DeVito, you want it to be on air, even though I don't do it professionally. I just do it for fun. I still thought that really sucked, the big one. But you never know. You got to do your work, and then if it gets cut out, you can just tell people about it. Now, we only have a couple more minutes. I want to get this in, though. What is this book called that you're writing on improv comedy and the invaluable lessons that we can learn from the experience? And I want to know some. I want you to tell us some of them. What's the book called, first of all?
I'd be happy to. Well, I'm still in the early stages of all of this, and I have got a whole wall here of titles, because that's the idea, is if you're not sure about the title, just come up with a lot until one really hits with you. But you've got the gist of it. It's how the rules of improv, I'm thinking something like Yes And, how the rules of improv comedy can help you be more successful or have a better relationship or whatever. And that might be a series, because as I dig into it, there's just so much to talk about. And so I take the rules of improv comedy and dissect them. And I sort of started discovering after teaching improv for so many years and doing it that the people that I loved within that world and the connections that were very deep for me just randomly were also the people who were really good at improv. And at first I was like, oh, when I meet somebody smart, I'd be like, oh, you'd be good at improv. Because when you go on stage and you can provide lots of information and you're quick and you're on your toes, that helps. And then I realized it was more than that. It was more than just being smart or funny. It was being aware. And so you have to be really aware when you're on stage doing improv. There's a lot going on, and one of the most important things is being present. And so isn't it the same with life? Because mm-hmm. if you're not present on stage, you're missing things. People are cueing you and you're not getting it. You're, you know, whatever. And so that's just one example of one of the rules is being present and being in the moment. And it's the same thing in life. And people don't necessarily talk about that as a rule in improv, but listening sure as heck is. And
but isn't one of the rules, and correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the rules in improv comedy I heard was when you're doing it, you never say no. So you can't do that in life, because that's my first response, no, or let me think about it, because I don't want to commit to anything, because you never know what the hell that will come out of that. That's open up a whole can of worms. Is that true, that when you're doing improv comedy, you don't answer with a no? Do you know what I'm talking about? Or
I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's a really great point. And it's actually one of the points of the book that I've had to really give thought to, because in life you have to say no sometimes. You must say no. But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about an agreement, and that's really what it is. It's not just the word. people often, when they're new, and I certainly did this, and I probably still do if I'm not paying attention and on my toes, somebody offers up something on stage, and they're like, well, that's a beautiful chef hat you have on your head. Your instinct is to go, no, it's not.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but it's a human thing, and I see it so many times with new improv students. Beautiful people, but they get on stage and they're like, no, it's not. Or whatever, and you just want to, because you want to go like, I don't know, you want to get a fight, or you want to just like, whatever the reason is, I don't know, but that stops a scene like nothing else. And it is the same thing in life, you know, if somebody comes up and just wants to hand you a flyer, and you go, no, well, you missed an opportunity to take the flyer and find out that the guy, you know, is from Lithuania, and, and he, you know, he's been... whatever, he's got this story and he's got this thing he wants to share, and not that you have to take it, but
kinky sex techniques you're gonna miss out on if you deal with a man from Lithuania, but that was back in the 80s. We won't talk about that, but yes, you will get that. So this is a perfect opportunity for you to come back on the show once your book is done, because I have to have some of these life lessons on this show from your book, because I feel they're going to be fantastic. When do you expect the book to be done?
Well, I'm finishing up the proposal for a publisher, so it's still really early stages.
Oh.
But I am writing. It is. But I've been working on it for years, and I'll tell you a quick little story. I started sending it off to publishers, query letters, and I got interest right away. I was about to respond, and something in me said, "No, wait. You're about to have something happen that's going to be, like, I don't know what it was, but it was like, no, wait, you're not ready yet. There's something going to happen." And like a month later, my entire life changed as I know it in really big ways. And I took from that, I'm pulling stories and adding them to it. And so I have been working on this for years, but I'm now pushing myself to get it out. I'm happy to share it with you.
I want you to come back on for sure. We ended like 1 minute ago, but real quick to end it, I just want to get this in. You're doing a sitcom right now. You're writing and creating a sitcom. Real quick,
I'm doing the Tracy Ullman show. I just finished the script. We're going into production on that, and then I'm writing a scripted show.
Wow! And where's that going to be? On YouTube or where's...
I'm not going to put it up on YouTube, no. We're going to be trying to sell that and trying
oh,
to...
Oh, okay.
We're not sure what we're going to do with that, but I'd you know, I want to be sort of pitching that as a
yeah.
thing.
Yeah! Ooh, I'm excited! This is perfect for you to come back on the show and promote it. I have to have you back on because I want to know what happens. We just scratched the surface of this. I didn't even get to talk about my obsession with Tracy Ullman. I'm so upset. We talked about those damn audiobooks the whole show, and I didn't get to talk about your sitcom and your variety show. But anyway, you know she's doing it. We're going to have her back on the show. Can you verbally commit to millions of people that you're coming back on the show to talk about it?
Absolutely, Priscilla. I would love to come back.
Yes! And I want to audition you for... We got some short films coming up. You know I own a production company, and we have a lot of short films. I said, oh my God, I have to have this comedic genius. So we'll talk privately. Anyway, I sent you a Facebook request, so we can chat about it then. But thank you so much for coming on this show today. You have brought so much knowledge and sage wisdom of the audiobook world, and we're looking forward to seeing your projects. And please go to her website, GeorginaMarie.com, GeorginaMarie.com, and we wish you the best of luck, and thank you so much for spending your time today. We really appreciate it. So say goodbye to your fans.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Priscilla, and thank you everybody for listening. It's an amazing thing to get to be a part of all of this. Thank you for having me.
Well, we are going to see you next time, and go to YouTube and type in Georgina Marie so you can see all of her little skits. She's hilarious. She is a funny chick. Oh, and she's also very gorgeous for all the men that are listening. Check her out. She's cute as a little button. Okay, thank you, Georgina. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.